Start the tape.
Start the tape.
Roll them.
We're calling this Men Together. It's an open session for women and men about some of the topics and the tone of a men-only retreat that will be coming up this weekend. My name is Keith Olsted.
I'm Ray McKeever.
And what we'd like to do is to ask you to come into a closer circle around us, if you would, and make a complete circle. Those of you who are massaging and so on, if you'd be also willing to join us and just continue massaging on the floor, or but in a closer space. If you don't want to move, that's fine too. But if you're willing, that would be more helpful to us.
Okay, why don't you pull the roll away from here?
Depending on what perspective you want to have,
this is all
you will be
paid.
Sitting there and I will be sitting here. So.
Yes.
Okay, everybody take off their clothes. We're really going to throw them off on the stage.
This is the staff coordinator speaking.
No one is anonymous in this group.
Why do you think I get along with this?
It seems to me that for me, part of being a man has been having a lot between me and other men. A lot of distance, a lot of stuff that has really kept me apart from other men for a big part of my life. And even when I do find myself closer to men, there is still stuff that seems to try to get in.
I could say something that about that just being here at Holden. I'm aware that I've had two long conversations with women and felt very connected emotionally, spiritually, and so forth. And I have avoided that with men here, or I haven't found that place to do that with men, even with Selby, who I feel a real automatic kinship. We haven't taken time to sit and talk for 2 hours and really give ourselves time to make that connection. So it's a difficulty for me too.
What we'd like to do this evening is to look for some ways to do that a little differently. And so we want to be closer together while we talk with you, but we also do not want to hold you out of the conversation, though we know that in some way we're supposed to be presenting the conversation. So there are four pillows here, and we're going to get up and sit together. It's a funny sort of thing where sometimes this space seems like an altar. It also seems a little bit like a sandbox or something. A bit playful. Maybe it's a
cats
time where we can
there.
Yes, right. Cats have played.
Why can't we?
Treasures.
But there are also two more pillows here. And we'd like to invite any of you, women or men, to join us in this conversation at any point that you want to make your own statements, to pick up on something we may say. Ask questions, challenge, whatever. We kind of like these to be relatively open seats, so if you join us and be with us for a little while, and then also make sure that others have opportunity. We'll see how that goes.
May we speak from where we're at, or do we need to move to the pillow? It'd
be nicer for us if you would join us.
So symbolically, I think moving into a connection, decluttering the desire. Taking that risk, represent that with your body.
Feels a little risky to be here.
I feel like you're separating yourself from the whole rest of the group to be with you too. That's how I feel.
Yeah, although, I'm real aware that is a key dynamic in the village this week about groups set apart and groups being included. And so, one of the things we're trying to do is to symbolize a way that people, it's okay to be apart within the larger community, especially if there's some way for there to be some permeable membrane, some ways to come in without denying that there are times when we need to just a few of us be together to do something. So that seems right. And it also seems like part of what's been happening here.
When we talked this afternoon out in the back of the village center, that was really precious. And actually, I lied. I have had a conversation with a man who was quite long and made a real nice connection.
So I'm not a village man.
It's really beyond that. But it was nice to do that with you, too, because we've been working, presenting things, but not connecting personally is the same way. So that was nice. We talked some there about one of the things that you brought up that I really liked was the suggestion to do this. And we talked about doing it on the altar or whatever this space is. And I like that, Aaron, because you talked about how, in a sense, we're presenting ourselves, we're giving ourselves. And before I came over, I was reminded of that image. And I wrote that. I've got a song, actually, I think that they sing here at the village, that you all sing at the village. What do we offer? Thinking particularly of the second and third verses of that song, which are what have we to offer? What have we to bring? Love ripe with laughter, hope that we can sing. Dreams of what we're after, promises of when, right at the altar, then. What have we to offer? What have we to give? Eyes that are wide open, lives that we won't live. Truth that must be spoken, justice somehow, lay at the altar now. What have we to offer? What have we to give? Lives we will live. And it was nice to connect that with, now with you and I, kind of getting up on the altar and realizing that, for me in some ways, that has a lot to do with what masculine spirituality is about, is acknowledging the being that we embody, that we are, and finding a way to open to that inwardly to ourselves, to know that and to express it and connect with it. I really appreciated you suggesting this.
Thank you. Would you be willing to come up with us for just a minute anyway? Yeah, shall we? That makes, when I hear you say that, I also want to talk with you, our brother, just a minute about the way you offered yourself this morning. Mm-hmm. Because that seemed to me real risky. You seemed to know this community well enough to know something about what was safe to say, which would still be challenging, and sharing and revealing.
Last night.
I have no sense of time. recently, when we... and because of the way that I feel permission to do things now and this weekend, because of the way that you sort of opened things up for us. And I think actually the way you opened things up for all of us. So I wanted to say that to you here. I think part of what we can do tonight is possible because of you.
Yeah, for me, you really set a tone of, I know you, we talked about that, you weren't as relaxed as you looked, maybe, but you looked really relaxed, and it felt so relaxed that you set a tone for me of, hey, just tell it, you know. And I know that's the result of me feeling pretty easy about what Keaton and I believe.
It harkens back to one of the things I hope we'll talk about this weekend. And that is my longing for models of other men who will affirm the gentleness I feel but I'm often afraid to share, that will accept me when I'm vulnerable, because I think most of the time I want myself to be articulate and fluid and strong and all of those things, because that's what I know I'll get credit for or acceptance for. And I don't know a lot of other men who publicly, willingly, and gracefully are other than that. Vulnerable, unclear, fumbling in a way that is vulnerable and all right. And it's easy to be embarrassed. It's hard to be unclear because it's right to be unclear.
Yeah. Well, risk-taking and sharing really builds on itself, and there's a lot of good models of that at Holden. It helped me. Having you guys here has been a tremendous catalyst. I just want to say that publicly. Just knowing you, even before I met you, it started my wheels turning about men. And just who you were, I feel like an immediate rapport with you. It's very easy, and that sort of helped a lot doing what I did last night. Just sharing with you that we're both nervous, you know, beforehand, a little sweaty and stuff, and just feeling your support up there was really nice and sweet. And so risk taking and sojourn has really, I was invited into a ritual led by one of the sojourners, and my participation in the ritual started helped me think about things like hunting and stuff that I really put aside for a long time. So it builds, and I think a lot of things are opening up in the community now. It's difficult to deal with because there's so much, but it seems like people are not only thinking about these as community issues, but looking in themselves and saying, what does this mean to me, and what is it that I need to bring out and be in conflict about, or be angry about, or laugh about, or be vulnerable about? And I just think they could be really rich. There's been a lot of community built here in the last couple of weeks.
Now, as you're saying that, it reminds me that I have a belief that there's a lot of stuff inside of us, inside of men. I mean, there's a lot of experience, feelings, grist for the mill that doesn't get out. Partly because we don't go in to find it, we don't pay attention to it. We're taught not to do that, to get on with other things, that there's something inherently kind of, you know, dismiss it, it's not valuable, and so forth. And I don't believe that's true myself. I go into a book that and find it and bring it on and share it like you did. A lot of things open up. I was reading, there's this great book, kind of a companion book to, have you read some of it? To the book we'll be using, Intimate Connection, but he describes, calls Masculine Spirituality, it's a chapter, Lighting a Candle in Your Inner World, is how he describes it. In his first paragraph, he talks about how it's like our bodies and the things that are in them, our experience, it's like we're in a house. The only thing we do is sleep there. We don't explore it. We don't decorate it. We don't know it. And that's why that image just really hit me. I've heard people say that, you know, life is a good night for my body. Sleep there. That's all I do. Otherwise, I'm running around in the world, crashes and so on. There's a little definition there, masculine spirituality.
Yeah, I'm really aware that last night I didn't deal with sexuality or present anything about sexuality or about spirituality and maleness, and I'm still not sure what masculine spirituality means. Or it has immediate negative connotations of patriarchy, but sort of I guess I'd invite more from you or from other people that perspective
talk
on
about that.
What non-patriarchal masculine spirituality is, you know, that was helpful what you just said, or maybe experiences you've had that tie into that.
Yeah, let's do that. thank you for coming up. I wanted to honor and recognize the way you have made what we're going to do easier to do. It may seem obvious to the folks here, but the way we're planning on going into this weekend makes me real anxious, because I like to be planned, organized, and know what we're going to do so I can do it well.
Oh, really?
Those of you who have been with us the last few days know what I'm talking about. And what we are going to do this weekend is try to do something that's a little less masculine, and more intuitive and more responsive. And that is to do some things in the first session or two to both invite us to take some risks and to state as best we can some of what our anxieties and fears and concerns are, and then find a way to use the rest of the workshop to begin to work, play, share with those things. We have two books which are real provocative and insightful, but which aren't going to mean anything if we don't get together about them. So we're doing tonight what we plan to do this weekend, and that is to try to trust our wisdom and our experience to move ahead with what's there to be worked with. How you doing?
Maybe I'll sing a song.
Good.
Because we'll be doing that, and that's what I like to do the best. Keith reminded me of a song that I don't sing much anymore, but I happened to find it in this wonderful book that's around here at the village called Rise Up Singing. And I got a hold of it and looked at it, and it was wonderful because it reminded me of our earliest connection. that you came into Minneapolis. Was I entering my second year in campus ministry? I've been working at the campus ministry center at the University of Minnesota for a year, and decided I would go on the staff full time. And Keith and his wife came in to share a position, and they were on the things that I was trying to live in my own life in kind of a quiet, self-determining sort of way, which is kind of an egalitarian lifestyle, helping out in the home and all this kind of stuff. But Keith came in here from the liberal Oberlin College, and he had been in a men's group and all this kind of stuff. So you got that going pretty soon. And his wife, he and Libby, were doing workshops on men's and women's roles and consciousness raising and stuff. And actually, it was shortly after, it was 1975, I guess, maybe 6, that I went out to State College, Pennsylvania, to the second National Conference on Men and Masculinity, and there I met a man named Jeff Morgan, who was writing and singing a lot of songs about men, and I was writing some songs, a few, but meeting him really inspired me to turn a lot of my life experiences, particularly around crisis, and in my life, I try to learn from them, turn them into songs. Anyway, he wrote a great song called It Comes With the Plumbing. It's probably the first one I ever learned. Keith said, could you sing that today? So I'll just kind of sing it and give us a little taste of what some of the difficulties of being a man are. Well, you know that I'm not a strong, silent type with a muscle beach body and retina on my mind. Even though Rambo ain't who I want to be, I pass a mirror and I flex instinctively. Well, it comes with the plumbing. Yes, it comes with the plumbing. Cause I'm a U.S. certified male still under warranty. Well, it comes with the plumbing. Everybody can sing that. Yes, it comes with the plumbing. And it's so hard to change when you're raised to be a male machine. Well, you know, it's just biology, the way my head turns around when I'm walking up the street and some woman's walking down. Happens so fast, looks like my neck might break, and it's amazing what this body can take. Cause it comes with the plumbing. Yes, it comes with the plumbing.
And I'm a U.S. certified male, still under warranty. Oh, well, it comes with the plumbing. Yes, it comes with the plumbing. It's so hard to change when you're raised to be a male machine. Let's see now. Well, you tell me I need to show more concern. My intellectual gains only make you feel burned. You say what I'm feeling, I always conceal. Could you explain exactly what you mean by feel? Yes, it comes with the plumbing. Well, it comes with the plumbing. Cause I'm a U.S. certified male, still under warranty. Yes, it comes with the plumbing. Oh, well, it comes with the plumbing. And it's so hard to change when you're raised to be a male machine. Now I get so weary watching men compete at everything we do at home or out in the street. The best job, the best car, I'm always on top. And now I'm the best liberated man at the shop. And it comes with the plumbing. Yes, it comes with the plumbing. Cause I'm a U.S. certified male, still under warranty. Oh, well, it comes with the plumbing. Yes, it comes with the plumbing. And it's so hard to change when you're raised to be a male machine. Do-do-do. Well, that's it.
Puts me immediately in touch with a wonderful conversation that I had with Mary and Becky. Where are you, Becky? Becky's name. Telling an unfair tale. But I'd like to just say what happened at the end of our conversation. Because at a couple points in the conversation, we were talking about you and about Selby and about a couple of the other men in the village. And phrases like well integrated are very complimentary things, which I think were meant in very genuinely complimentary ways, were said. And part of me wants very much to hear that. I want to be praised. I want to be affirmed. I like being liked. But boy, as particularly Becky, at the end when we could talk, and I felt like, boy, you know, I think I can actually risk this with you. I needed to say to you, I don't want to hear, sometimes I'm in a space where I don't want to hear that my vulnerability makes me good. I just want you to take my vulnerability and say, sometimes the praise, for us men at least, works against us, because it's like being a good boy again. And what I really need is justice which is why I need to get together with brothers, because I think as wonderful as it was to talk with you, Becky, it's somehow, and to have you hear and accept my statement, somehow to be with brothers and to know that sometimes it just doesn't work, and whatever we're trying to do, it's not okay to be incoherent. And rather than be praised for accepting being incoherent, it's more helpful with other brothers to recognize what a struggle it is to be incoherent.
The brothers.
That's partly a personal statement and partly an invitation.
Clarifying question?
Sure, come on.
Can I just make a statement?
My statement was that I've noticed in myself that being here and knowing we're going to leave this workshop and so forth, it's been really hard for me to approach you men personally and invite you to participate. And I can't believe that I don't do that, but I think it's the same thing. I don't know what it is, you know. I somehow feel like I have to take care of you while I do it, or I've got to make it complete for you right at the moment, and really, or I'm kind of afraid that, you know, you'll come and it won't work, or I'll disappoint you. And so forth.
Can you be patient just a minute so I can respond to that too? Because I feel that real strongly. And for me, part of it is that I am not an expert on men's liberation. You know, I am not here to teach you about how you should be. I want to make that real strongly. That's part of why we are not going to lecture about the books. I don't know diddle about how you should be. And I want to say that real clearly. And I also want women to hear that. That we are not putting together the new man in this country.
Or you're not the new man that's showing how to be in the man.
Yeah, but you can work on it. But you won't get it from us. And I don't expect to get it either.
Get what?
Put together right.
I do expect to make a step. Yeah. I expect a change.
But it'll be my step, and it'll be your step.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. My question was, when you were saying that when you were vulnerable to Becky and she praised you for that, my question as a woman is, when a man is vulnerable to us, should we just take it in and receive it and not praise them for it?
I think you should do what comes naturally, whatever that is. And just know that there'll be times when I really want to be praised, and I'll drink it deeply. And there are other times when I just need to say, right now I'm not in a space to be praised. I just want you to hear my struggle and just accept it for that. And you know, you need to do what you're going to do. And if I can't handle what you're going to do, I probably need to move away. Usually I'll move back too. At least that's been my experience. I don't, with someone who's offering me something, I don't usually run away forever. So.
Because the image that I had in mind was when Robert Bly talks about the relationship of a young boy to his mom. And so what plugged into me is that when we go and praise you for your vulnerability, does then that put us back into, like, you feel like you're that vulnerable little boy again, and then we're all of a sudden like this mother figure?
Yeah, that's a real helpful. For me, that's a real helpful image. You know, what Bly's talking about there is the need for sons to take the key from under their mother's pillow. It will not do any good for the son to receive the key from the mother. The boy has to take the key. That's really part of what I'm talking about, too. There are times when I would like your affirmation, and it's a healthy thing. And there are times when I need to take what I need. I need to take what I need for myself. That is sometimes, I'm aware when I say that, that is sometimes something that men do violently to women. And I trust that that's not what I'm talking about here. I do not want to take what I need out of your being. But insofar as there are times when you have a key that unlocks part of me, I want to take that key from you. And it's probably not a key that you can give me. I need to take it. Just like you, as a woman, need to take your power. And I think that's a dynamic we share. It's also something that I struggled with my mother. Because in our culture, it's a tricky thing to stand up to your mother. So, when a woman mothers me, I get real muddled. So, and I think sometimes what a woman offers me may be affirmation and love, and I'll receive it as mothering. So it's not always something necessarily you do to me, but when I'm experiencing that dynamic, it's very hard for me to get clear, and it's very hard to do it, to get clear cleanly. And you with me on that?
What I hear you saying partly is that, or maybe I'm projecting it, is that sometimes you develop a relationship and get it going, and all of a sudden there comes a place where it gets muddled. And that's a thing that, one thing that can muddle a relationship with a woman, for you,
yeah.
At that time. Not knowing how to receive that, what could be an affirmation,
mm-hmm.
but you feel threatened to some extent.
And I've not experienced that very often with men. I've very seldom
felt loved. By men or praised by men.
By men, yeah. And that's part of why I need to spend time with men.
Okay, thank you.
That was helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Here's the question. If we're trying to be vulnerable, and if men have a hard time with vulnerability, and they really do, I mean, it's an issue that all men have to deal with, why are we sitting up here?
Being vulnerable?
Yeah. Are we? No, yeah. Yeah, because I feel vulnerable, and I guess... And maybe I'm projecting, but I think that most people in this group feel pretty vulnerable sitting up here. And I think that, in a way, this creates a barrier that I don't consider real healthy, because I think that a lot of people have a lot of things to say, and I'm kind of concerned that you know, you're sitting up in this area. And it's more intimate, and, you know, I think it has advantages, but I think it's kind of exclusive. And that's kind of the issue that I sort of deal with, and it's what I was reacting to tonight. It's kind of when someone puts me in this narrow framework of male, you know, and it doesn't give me maybe it's not affirmation. Maybe it is affirmation. Affirmation for how far I've come in terms of my relationships with women, my relationships with my daughter, my relationships with my roles that I play. In this society, I get angry. I get angry because there's no place for me to stand on this issue. I mean, I all of a sudden I'm a male. You know, and I don't want to just be a male. I want to be able to be effeminate. I want to be able to be masculine. I just want to be able to get along, and I get angry, and I guess I'm telling that for you, and I'm telling that for this entire community. It's like, that's where I come from. I mean, I came from the Selby model. I mean, what you talked about last night about the hunting and the fishing, and you know, and I've had to. I mean, I think that I don't always see a lot of. Sort of affirmation for men who have at least made it part way. And I certainly haven't made it all the way. I mean, I still get caught up in a lot of male shit and a lot of, I mean, as watching you as you held Selby's hand, and that's always the issue that men have, you know, about holding hands and about. And so, man, I can't say that I'm completely freaking out, but there's no place to stand. It's like, you're a man. You got the plumbing. It's like, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in there.
Whew, rich statement. I've got a couple things I'd like to say to you. One is that I think you get angry beautifully.
That's emotion, and I feel it.
And you just are there with it. And I mean, I think every now and then what you say, I don't like, but I sure like your energy, and I can work with that. You know, I mean, here you are with us. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's risk, though.
Oh, you bet! I think it's a damn risk to be a man today. I really do. I mean,
you talked earlier about models, you know, and being a model. You wouldn't believe, even at Holden Village, the kind of models that I present with that. Pam and I share a lot of our just kind of tasks, and I know that you sort of reference that a little bit, but I mean, I get village men coming up to me and saying, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you shouldn't be changing that diaper, you shouldn't be. And it's not even a male female thing. It's sort of like it's a role. It's something that we've decided. I find that pretty amazing at Holden Village. Anyway, since we have a lot of ENFPs, you know, a lot of people. Figure that. I mean, there's only, what, 20% of the male's population is ENFP or INFP, the NFP being the most important part. There's a bigger percentage of them here than probably.
Is Myers-Briggs stuff common knowledge here?
No, quite.
Great. Good.
Far too common. I heard loneliness too. It's like I'm being who I am, and it's hard for me to connect with other people around it in a positive way. It's kind of like, well, what's the use of doing this if nobody will join me, or if I can't make connections around it, if I can't feel good with others about what I'm trying to do.
It has to do some with affirmation and some with kind of just understanding that people are on a road and it's not male-female, and it's kind of a continuum that we are searching for both sides of our life and both sides of our psyche. And it's, I have a very good friend who's a male, and for me, that doesn't happen at all. But, you know, that's not something that, you know, I can count on this. And his name is Randy Ross, and I mean, I absolutely love him, and I can love men, and that's a new risk for me. And that's a new thing for me to say. That's not something I would share with my brothers. I mean, I tell my brothers that I love them, but it's.
Yeah, I love you too. Good job, sucker.
I try and get through that level, but I mean, that's always kind of some of the things that you get to deal with being with other people. It's like,
yeah, right.
Well, I never had a brother. You can abuse me all you want. There's a part of that I long for. I love playing basketball today. That was really fun. And it was really,
really competitive.
I'll tell you, there are a couple of guys here who could put it to you, but
yeah,
it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. That's one of them.
And it was very nice to have, I'm blanking on her name.
Carrie
play. Good player.
So, that's just fun.
Nice to meet you. Great. I am. Good.
Just what Tom was saying about men who are your friends. I've got about four back at home who we've made it clear to each other. We've said it and in our relationships that we love each other. And you know, not always we wrestle with each other, but just in the sitting down and the sharing of our feelings. And for me right now, I'm feeling lonely for them. I want to be with them because they're my age, and here I am, and I'm thinking about doing this men's spirituality retreat, and I don't even know if I'm a man yet, you know? I'm 18 years old. I'm coming into this with very limited man experience.
And
I really yearn to be with those friends who just kind of understand me without, a lot of times without even having to say anything, just to have that unspoken rapport if we're just driving in a car or if we're off camping together and we're sitting and watching the sunset. It's one thing I really remember doing with my friend Rich. And just knowing almost everything about the guy and him knowing almost everything about you, and having such strong feelings of love towards each other, and not even having to say it, but just knowing it. And So, you know, as I listen to these conversations and this talk, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about those people who I'm so close to and who I've grown up with and who are my age. That's one of the main things for me right now, is who are in the midst of some of the same experiences that I'm in now. That's where I'm coming from, I guess, is that. I don't know how to say it.
I was getting a cup of tea tonight up in the second floor right outside of your room, and stood for a long time getting to know you, though that's on your door. And I was really, really touched by all of that stuff. Everything from that drawing, an incredible drawing. Did you do that drawing? To the Christ on the cross coming out of the earth. And an incredible amount of feeling in that. And to the statement of commitment and the bracelets. And I thought, maybe that's why this bracelet was in my room when I got there. You know, why is this bracelet? I don't put it on. Anyway, I thought, and I hope I find the courage to invite you to come.
You know, one funny thing is did you see that really colorful Storyteller's Creed up in the corner?
That's great. Yeah,
my friend Rich sent that to me.
That was Rich.
About 2 months ago. Mm.
I also want you to know that one of the things that's real important to me about this man is that he's one of the friends I have who hasn't left me. I mean, I really want to encourage you to keep doing what you do, to keep those friends. Because my experience has been one of there just being an awful lot that comes between us. I feel surprisingly at the moment like a father. My oldest son is a year older than you are. I might lose it on this one. And I can't talk with him very much. And I love him very much. And I talk to him a lot, and he doesn't talk back. That's my stuff. But it's real important to me to be able to talk to someone Nathan's age. I didn't know you were Nathan's age. I juggled with you today. Wonderful connection. So one of the things I keep wanting to say to Nathan, except I think it comes off as, oh, Dad, you know, he's off, is to say to your friends what you feel about them. Because one of the things that I think happens, one of the things that we keep working on is saying what's going on to us. You've already seen how different we are. And if we don't work at staying in touch, the differences take over.
I have periods of time.
We worked on the same staff for a while. And there are a lot of men who are a lot more comfortable with what I do than with what you do. And boy, does that comfort me. And there are a lot of other men and women who greatly value what you do and who are sick of hearing what I do. And that comes between us. And so, you know, and that's...
This is a little bit heavy, but I was thinking taped the interview with Robert Bly and Bill Moyers, and one of the things that really hit me in that tape that Robert Bly said was how little in this culture we have rituals where older men can give something to younger men. Mm-hmm. And he said, I think it just gripped me when he said, how long has it been since you've said, I think he used the example of like a 14-year-old boy, you've gone up, you know, to a 14-year-old boy and affirmed something about him. And boy, that hit me. That really hit me. Because I'm afraid of 14-year-old boys. You know. And it projects onto you a little bit too. It's awful. It's just, I don't know what it is, but
Boy, and I think you weren't here for the community meeting, but I think that came out loud and clear in the community meeting tonight. When you hear those kids saying you don't trust us, I feel like you're blaming me. I think one of the things we're dealing with is a key part of what we've got to address this weekend. I don't know whether we can address it, but it's, I want to say that differently. I don't know that we have to address it this weekend, but I would love to find a way to peel back some of what's around that issue. I don't know if we'll be able to do it or not. I don't know what it is.
Well, for me, it's important because I'm 46 now, and life is moving on, and I am trying to keep learning things, but I feel like, you know, I can keep trying to grow and so forth, but I want to leave something behind too, and I want to do it relationally, not just songs or whatever, and it's part of the reason I took this job at the college this year. Force myself out of this self-employed mode and into a relationship with younger people and try to be a mentor. So, you know, you stimulate, oh man, by coming up. Yeah. Here's my rock. I better pass this on because I'm feeling. Maybe you could put on a picture.
Hi. I was just thinking that a lot of what men want and a lot of what women want is really the same thing, and our culture traditionally has limited us and has set up this dichotomy, and sometimes I wonder if some of the things that we do, well, for instance, the men's retreat and then the women have their group, doesn't keep reinforcing that. And sometimes I wonder what would happen if we, you know, if we opened up the men's weekend to women, and that a lot of, you know, what we're striving for, the more the what has traditionally been the more feminine aspects. What better people learn from than women who that has been culturally accepted for them to be that way, and then vice versa, you know. I wonder if sometimes we don't keep reinforcing that with the idea that, well, to get down to the brass tacks, it has to be just, you know, just the boys or whatever. Yeah.
I sure don't want to say that to get down to brass tacks, it has to be the boys. I want to be real clear about that. I've gotten down to some real brass tacks with women here in a couple of conversations, and I don't know that I can get much deeper with anybody, period. But some different things happen for me when I'm just with men. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I have a penis and there's some folks here who don't. And that makes a big difference. Why?
Would you like to flesh that out a little bit? It's just kind of...
Well, I mean, it's sort of something I wanted, a reaction I had to what Tom said too. Sometimes I don't like that there's these differences between us, but I haven't found a way yet to change that.
Well, biologically there's the differences, I guess.
No,
well, culturally too. Yeah, it's the way we're raised, the expectations, right. That boys have different, totally different experience of life than girls do in terms of what they're expected to become. And well, I mean, I guess I would defend the need for males to share their experiences amongst themselves, just because well, women don't know our experience. I don't think we know our experience that well either.
Right.
And I don't think women can help us find it, because they don't know it. They can help us find some things, but I think we've got to go through ourselves to find whatever that is that we're seeking in common.
Does that make sense in some ways? I was at a Sam Keen workshop a month ago, and he said something, it's just kind of an unforgettable image, you know, God never whispered in the ear of the woman the secret about what it means to be a man, something like that. And so women can't tell us what it means to be a full human being as a male. At least that's my bias, I believe that. And I also believe that, we don't do it to do women a favor, but that we are doing women a favor when we get to know ourselves better, mm-hmm. because then there's more genuine, honest, authentic us to bring to our relationships with women.
I'd even like to say we do the whole creation a favor. Okay. You know, I mean, that it's not just women and men we're working on here, but it's our place and sort of life's stake at our working through what it is we've been doing to ourselves and to each other. I mean, we've just been doing this sojourn for the last couple of days. And our last session today talked about creation as God's creation or man-made. And that term is real important because a whole lot of the way we go at things has to do not with human-made, but with man-made and sort of man striving against God, which women also do. But the stereotypes attached to that have primarily to do with the manliness. And that's some of why I think we need to work on. I also want to say that part of why we're doing what we're doing tonight is to try to embody the notion that we are not trying to do something secretive or this is not a Ku Klux Klan or fraternity thing, but it is something we need to do together, and there will be
no strategy to get back
at
women.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's not a backlash. It is some stuff, some work.
But it's a response. I think women claiming their experience and their identities has forced men to consider their own, which men have basically not had to do. I don't want to use the term oppressors and so forth, but the people who are kind of dominating the other people. Sam Keen says, you know, the fish swims in water, but it never identifies what it's swimming in as water. Everybody else defines the environment for it because it's such a natural part of it. So, like, men don't have to consider all these things because they're just in control. But I think now we're having to, that didn't come up as clear as we wanted.
That's helpful.
I feel like your statement here has clicked off all sorts of theoretical responses and so forth, and I want to affirm, I was touched by one of the first things you said, and that was that men and women are seeking the same thing, and I think that's really important. And I was just wondering if you could name that.
What do we seek together as human beings rather than what do males need or want and what versus what do females want?
And I would ask you, can you tell us what a couple of those things are for you? What are some of those things that you're looking for together?
Peace with myself and with my environment, people in my life. Healing with some relationships, family, and some of those issues that I think are gender neutral in that there's so much work in those types of areas that could best be done together because of what men and women could do together that maybe they couldn't do separately on those issues.
Good. I like to hear other people name those things because it reminds me of things I forget sometimes. Thanks, Jackie.
Taking the symbolism of your cushions pretty seriously. I'm sitting on it here.
I figured that was pretty serious.
I agree a lot with Carl. Mm-hmm. And okay. I listened to what you said.
Exactly.
I'll preface this with the fact that maybe I'm a little stubborn, so maybe I didn't listen closely enough.
Okay.
What I heard you say is that women can't help us in this endeavor, or may not be able to, okay. But what I didn't hear is anything to indicate how they might hamper us, or how they might not be benefited by being on the journey with us.
Good, that's real helpful to hear.
Maybe that's there too, and if so, continue.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time, symbolically, moving out of this group to join that group, and in a broader sense, for the whole retreat weekend, to go to these sessions, which I view as exclusive.
Mm-hmm. They are clearly exclusive, and they're not. They don't have to be. I hope that there will be some men who feel comfortable about being in them, and that women will give men permission to not be there. I don't think that this is where men have to be. I'd like to be real clear about that and real firm about that. We are not here to do what men have to do. Not all men have to do this. Not all men have to do what we can be doing. And so.
So you're saying that this will meet the needs of certain men, but not others? Is that what?
I think that's a choice that you need to make, though. I mean, I'm not a choice I'm going to make for you, or that women can make for you. If I were to try to rephrase what I wanted to say, it would be that I think there is some work that we have to do, that women or God or anyone else cannot do for us. And in terms of sort of growing up with who we are, this is a wonderful issue in terms of Libby, my wife and me, or my sons and daughter and me. You know, there's some growing up that I can't do for Nathan, and I'd love to try. My oldest son is Nathan. I'd love to be closer to him when he's exploring some of these things. I'd like to save him from some of the mistakes I made. And I can't. No way. He doesn't want me to, and if he did want me to, there are times I couldn't. And the same is true in a situation like this, I think. There's some stuff we need to do.
What I'm hearing, though, is what you have already said, is that this is something we need to do. They can't help us. Yeah. But again, why can't they be there?
Can I respond to
that? I'm just dying to make sure.
Come on up here and sit here, but you might need to be patient for a minute.
Try.
I would, can I say something? Everybody wants to say something.
This is what I
brought. This was a real issue.
It's about kind of the comfortable.
Well, I'd like to deal with this issue first. I mean, it seems to be the issue on the floor. First of all, I hear your resistance. Real strong. And it challenges, challenges me to maybe think of some ways that I could do this more in a mixed group, because I think I found so much benefit from doing it just with men that I may need to grow in that direction. But it also invites me to tell you how rich my experience has been,
okay,
being in with groups of men doing it, not particularly in workshops just like this, because this is 3 days or whatever it is, but for being in men's groups over a period of 5, 6, 7 years. And being able to explore and touch parts of myself that I thought, first of all, I'd never be able to share with anybody. That I didn't even know myself, or didn't even know the meanings of, and I'd say particularly one thing that in the area of sexuality for me, we were in the group and at one point in time decided we were going to do sexual histories, which meant that, you know, one person in the group would come, they just, you'd think about it during the week, and you'd sort of talk about your sexual history, however you wanted to, starting from your first awareness of that you were a sexual being, or messages you got, to early first sexual orgasmic experiences and masturbation, and early relational sexual experiences or lack thereof, stuff like that. And I tell you, I was talking about stuff I thought I'd never be able to share with people, and I realized how much shame and guilt and secretness, and to realize that I could connect with other people around that, I don't think that's something I can do with women particularly.
Now you said the answer.
Huh?
Now you said an answer.
I mean, I can do that with women, but it doesn't mean the same thing to me. And yet I do it partly to increase my sexual health and understanding, and my partners of choice are women, heterosexual person. And so I want to connect with women around that, but I need that other place to do that journey. So that's just an example that
you've been here a while, you
well, this is what Carl said, but it relates, thank you, to what Tom and Jeff have said as well. And as much as I would affirm our common humanity and therefore the need to be inclusive on that basis, I would also really affirm the difference between men and women. And my, what's really brought it home to me by way of personal experience is, living and working with men on boats in Alaska, but in a completely male environment. And living with men for, anywhere from 2 to 6 months at a time, and not living with any women. The last year and a half, I have not lived with any women at all, because my housemates, when I came home from Alaska, were both men. And, 4 years ago, realized that I was in a foreign culture, and that the most effective way for me to approach what I was doing was as an anthropologist and try and learn this culture and learn how to live in it and work in it effectively. And I enjoy my times working with men, and I do find, I've often found that I am in a foreign environment, and that's, I really see that when a fisherwoman walks on the boat, and there's a difference there. I think we all know that, but I think I've experienced that kind of in extremis. I think it's important to be able to be exclusive, to be able to be with just men or just women, because we share, and whether the differences are by nature or by nurture, we share common nature and a common socialization, and therefore our needs for growth are similar, and our needs for growth as men and women are different from each other. Men may need to grow in becoming more sensitive and nurturing. Women may need to grow in becoming more secure and strong. And I think we can learn. I'm sure you learned a lot from each other in marriage. But there are things that we need to learn from each other separately as well. And I think we can follow some of the models from primitive cultures of sweat lodges and menstrual huts and learn from those and try and grow in ourselves that way. But in response to what Tom and Jeff both expressed in some measure, I think maybe a mistake we've made here at Holden as women, not realizing it, was that we haven't affirmed a man. I know I love watching Tom with Jillian and just I really like to just sit there and watch because it's special. It's not the norm, and you do express something different, and I really appreciate it. But I hadn't realized before hearing Tom speak that's something that needs to be affirmed, and that I think the men in this community do, I don't know, put up, I wouldn't say put up with a lot, because I think they're blessed by it as well, but they put up with a lot of our struggling and growing and working with our own oppression, trying to find our own healing, and we really appreciate that, but I don't know if we've expressed that effectively enough. And also, I don't think we've said to them, we really love you and appreciate you, and just because we are together in our group does not mean that we are shutting you out of our hearts. We still love you, and we still feel deeply connected. And maybe we have not said that. Maybe we haven't reaffirmed that strongly enough. So the men have felt criticized and excluded by our exclusiveness. And we've intended it to be inclusive in the way this is inclusive, to be intimate and a place where we can grow and find healing, not to shut our dear brothers out, but I think it's been understood that way, and it's been really hurtful because we haven't expressed our commitment to them and our love for them.
How's your patience?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Okay. Because I want to say to you now something I said to you the other night too, and that is that I think to some extent men need to be rejected. That part of what we grow up with, at least stereotypically, is that we're in control. This is our world, call the shots. And you need our permission to do something. And there are times when anyone who represents any part of that claim needs to be told, you have no right to run my being or my body. So on the one hand, while you affirming everything you say, also don't apologize for briefly rejecting a demand that you not leave. Specifically came to my mind was my struggle with letting go of Nathan. I am feeling rejected by my son, and I need to deal with that because that's my issue, not Nathan's. Nathan is simply growing up, and I feel rejected. But that's my stuff, not yours or Nathan's. Particularly since both of us keep telling each other that we love each other, and that's where what you're saying is so rich.
I don't know that I need to stay now. I just heard it all.
No,
that's all of what I was going to say, I think. More eloquently than I would.
Give it a try anyway. Say it for yourself.
Well, one of the things that occurred to me was, and it's partly in response to Jeff's dilemma, and which is not just Jeff's dilemma, but
Jeff's statement.
Yeah. One of the things that occurred to me was the thought about last week, and I don't know how many of the women, or how many of you women were involved in the, I know that there was at least one exclusive get-together, and I know this the evening in the sauna was one. Were some of you involved in that?
And,
well, I'm kind of curious, how do you feel about that? Good?
Yeah.
Good? Good exclusivity?
Oh, good.
I mean,
meeting.
It was good exclusive.
Yeah,
right?
It was exclusive.
I mean, it wouldn't have been good in that way unless it had happened exclusively, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I am completely filled with affirmation for that action, and I think it's I think it's admirable, and I think it's important, and I, you know, think you guys should keep doing it. Gals. But,
you know,
in the same way, I guess that's how I feel about, and I myself have been involved with a men's group, men's spirituality group, support group. I don't know, maybe that's partly just me having grown up with four sisters, having two daughters, you know, no brothers, no sons. I don't know, but I think I connect fairly well with men. I still have some of the built-in cultural shit to deal with, you know, where I do have trouble getting beyond a certain point. But and that I think speaks to something Tom I think was hinting at, was that loneliness that you were talking about a little. It's kind of a strange place to be, it seems to me, because one can be one can maintain some real good connections and good vulnerability and good open, free-flowing kind of communication and intimacy with women as a man, and even have some of that to some extent with other men. But with some of that cultural stuff there, you never quite get there. And there are things, I agree with you, I don't think that as a culture and as an individual, it's possible to find some of those needs met with women as a man. I think we learn a lot from each other. But there's something that I can't even quite come down that just goes beyond that. There to me, there's more than the biological differences. So, thank you for saying so well.
I laughed at what you said at the beginning. Did you notice that? It wasn't
so
because it wasn't because of the it wasn't because of the gender slip or anything like that. And I'm aware that I probably would say this much easier if there weren't women present. But at this moment, I would probably say something like, you know, the only thing that gets me the most about thinking about women all taking an exclusive sauna together is that if they're all together, they probably get naked.
Yes.
Feel free to do that.
And
I wish I was there. I'd like to be a fly on the wall. I mean, it titillates all these, not only fantasies of being left out, this feelings of being left out, but all these other sort of participation sort of stuff. And I don't suppose you ever thought of that. It's kind of like, it's also somehow just, you know, women are together by themselves and they're probably more free with each other than they can be around me. There's that whole kind of thing, and it's like, oh, I want to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I've identified with myself too, is a jealousy thing, that and that's part of that, breaking those cultural barriers. Is it's so, I think a good example I had was listening to a couple of women friends in the same, in Shall I One, having a riotous good time one evening. Mm-hmm. Just the laughter went on and on. I couldn't identify any of the words that were spoken, but they were obviously having a really good time, and it was clearly one of that kind of good time that women have together, that they can only have together, and that and I think men have some of those personal connections too that can happen, but I don't think we've gotten quite that far yet either. And that's where the jealousy comes in, I think, is that we really need to work on that to find some of those connections.
Have you ever had a good time like that with a woman?
Probably a lot closer to that.
Than with men.
I'm not even sure of that.
So it hits it in both areas, kind of clear.
Probably.
That there's something that seems freer than let go and spontaneous.
Yeah.
Somehow it seemed important to, it was very easy to come up here, but it was very difficult to leave my chair. I think what that does is it, something that I am searching for and almost desperately, is an identity of what it means to be a man, something that I can live with. And I don't necessarily mean enjoy. I mean, I'm not a feel-good believer about either things that I do or things that are done to me. I don't, my status quo is not to feel good about all that. My status quo is to be called to do what I'm doing. And to accept relation with what other people do to me. Doesn't mean that I have to put up with stuff that's being lobbed onto me. Or if someone's, you know, intentionally or unintentionally trying to squish me, it doesn't mean I have to put up with it. And nor does that mean that I have to always be looking for things that are disagreeable to me. But what I mean, at least in terms of understanding my masculinity and my maleness, and I think they are two little different things, I feel very much adrift. I feel very, very much adrift. And I must say I feel more so adrift for being at Holden. And I think a lot of that driftedness comes from a jealousy for seeing a lot of women will then gain a greater sense of identity of what it means to be a woman. And that hurts. That hurts because I know that I have an equivalent identity and I don't feel jealous of them. I feel jealous of their experience. And the thing is that I don't know that I can gain that experience in the same way that they do, either be it ritual, or be groups of women together, or be it Women's History Month, or whatever. I had a very important discussion with Rosie, that some of her experience has been that women gain intimacy differently than men gain intimacy. Now whether that is because it's culturally developed or whatever, I don't know. But it seems to be the more the case, and I can identify that with that, very much like Mark was describing, that the love that he engenders with his friends comes much more unspoken, but it is no less genuine. And in fact, my experience has been with the men that I have known, that when our love was shared through the things that we did, there was a genuine quality of that that has stayed even to this day with friends that I have known for 15, 20 years. And we haven't spoken word boo about our deepest feelings, but the love is very genuine. So I don't know about getting naked with a bunch of other guys and talking about our feelings is going to do it for me. And that understanding who I am as a man. It might not.
There's no formula. There's no conclusion.
Of course not. But I think I'm called to understand who I am as a man. I think it's my calling. And so I'm willing to try. And I'm willing to fail. Because I have a lot of expectations for this weekend. And I'm trying to turn that into hope. Realizing that if I expect it and don't get it, I'm going to feel pretty bad.
And
so I'm trying to turn it into hope.
I really want to make the weekend work too.
One of the I'm really aware of time, and we had said that because of the way things have been going in the last several days, that we really wanted to honor time, but one of the things that we have not done tonight, and what has happened has seemed real right to me. One of the things we have not done tonight that we want to do this weekend is to spend more time not talking, but doing some things with drums, some things with other rhythm and songs.
Silence.
Silence. With doing interacting, feeding each other, and other things that we'll design as we go. The weekend probably will not involve, will not be simply talk as much as tonight has been. So in the,
maybe there will be spaces between the talking.
Yeah. But we're not going to try to do that in the next 7 minutes.
That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm afraid of words. I'm afraid I'm not expressing myself the way I want to. But I want to start with responding to Randy, that women's sauna. It was wonderful. At least it was to me. And I guess some are curious about that. I mean, yeah, we did take off our bathing suits, and it felt good because you weren't there, I guess. And yeah, we did touch each other's bodies. And we did share differences and similarities. And it felt good with back rubs and therapy. And and I just want to respond to Jeff. That moonwalk, that was the same night? No, it wasn't the same night.
I'm glad to hear someone else gets confused on time.
That moon. Full moon night we had together. Just some of us talked about that. That we really wish that men could do that too. Because it's a gift. So I just wanted to say that. What I actually wanted to ask, I have a question. And that I have a hard time with finding out what is male and what is female about us. Because Selby taught and his Vespers, which I liked very much, you talked about fishing and hunting with your father. Well, my father, he doesn't hunt, but my brothers do. And I do too. I don't hunt myself, but I go with them. And I don't see what's so male about that. I have friends who are girls who hunt. And I really need. I don't see the male thing about that. Mm-hmm. And also, I remember my eldest brother. I have two brothers. I guess. That has very much to do with my experience, yeah, I guess, because I'm very close to both of them. And the eldest one was in the army. And when he came home in the weekends, or some weekends, my other brother didn't have any interest for that, not at all, to listen to his stories. But I had, and we could sit up, just him and me, and talk, and he shared his experience from the army, his feelings about that, being with only men, because there wasn't any women in his. And I had interest in that, and I don't really see, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have a problem there.
Let me try to respond to your question. And here time is going to press us, because the way I'd like to respond to you is to talk about what has really intrigued me in the book that we asked that men take a look at, mm-hmm. Or invited men to take a look at. Because what Jim Nelson is proposing is that
most of what we have stereotypically called male is not particularly helpful in terms of defining or talking about a male spirituality, because almost everything stereotypical is shared by the other sex to some degree. And that goes both ways. Fathers can be nurturant, so nurturing is not for women only. And you know, hunting is something lots of men do, but certainly not only men do, and so on and so on. So what is it that men have or do that can be the source of something that is a genuinely male dynamic? And though I was thinking this afternoon about women who were writing 20 years ago and saying, I mean, I don't know if you're old enough to remember how bra burning was ridiculed when that started to happen, or when Shulamith Firestone wrote Vaginal Politics. How many men read that book with something over the cover? You know, because to talk about identity, even sexual identity, in terms of sexual, explicitly sexual things, was ridiculous. And I feel like Nelson is taking some of the same risk, and I want to take some of the same risk this weekend in saying that I think one of the possibilities for us to begin understanding some things about ourselves as men is to understand something about how we relate to our penises, which was the song last night, and it was sort of wonderfully releasing to hear the laughter and the play about it, and it is also very serious. Nelson proposes that there are basically two ways that we relate to our genitals as men. One is as a phallus, the erect penis, and the other is as simply penis. And most of stereotypical manhood is defined in terms of the phallus. Most of the imagery for being a powerful, potent, strong, aggressive, successful, dominating man has to do with some connection with the phallus. It does not have to do with that limp thing that you tuck away and try to keep from being noticed, which is, frankly, the way a penis spends most of its time, and frankly, is also the way I spend most of my time along with my penis, and that is being quiet and soft and vulnerable and gentle and so on.
Until somebody notices you, then you gotta get up.
Yeah.
And be ready.
And sometimes
respond to anything right away.
And sometimes I can't. And sometimes I can't.
Then you bluff your little.
Yeah. And so
fake.
So there's a lot to talk about there. I mean, there is a way in which, in spite of the way I would like things to be, my penis ends up reflecting a whole lot of what I struggle with in my life. And that is something I don't know that you will necessarily directly understand.
Probably not.
But I think that you can.
But you may have to relate to it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
In ways. Yeah. You know, why is this man not whatever? Or why is this man not? He seems to have life about him, but why, when I ask him how he feels, he doesn't know what to say?
Mm-hmm.
Or why did he seem so close last night when we were together, and today he's not there? He's somewhere else. What's going on with him?
Yeah.
I think
it's
not particularly a male experience, because I think there's attachment and distancing in all relationships. I think it's more male.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of,
I guess just that what I'm really wondering about is that my parents, as an example, my mother, she's the one who keeps my father down to earth. And I've understood that that is supposed to be a masculine.
Being down to earth.
Yeah, and logical. And my father, he's up there. I mean, mm-hmm. And that's
right.
The feminine.
I don't think he feels feminine
like that. And I mean, I had that after my father. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel feminine about being, mm-hmm. absent-minded and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Sure.
I don't see what's so feminine about that. And still, sometimes I can be very angry, and I don't see what's so masculine about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't see what it has to do with the penis.
It's right, and it seems to me that we have much more in common than we have separating us. And that's where I want to affirm some of what you're saying. I have no intention of withdrawing from women for my life.
Can I just say something here? I think what I like about what Nelson's doing with the different aspects of the penis is important, because what it helps me do is saying the way to complete my identity is not necessarily to become more like a woman. It's to round out my aspect as a man, as a male. And he's doing something that has not been done. Well, some people, Robert Bly, I think, is doing it more by looking for the deeper masculine, he calls it. But he's affirming the differences. And it's a helpful image to me. Because I, for a long time, have labeled it, I'm trying to get in touch with my feminine side, and felt pretty good about that. And there's something different about this thing from the school. Not just because it's a helpful image for me, but I'm interested in the other thing. And,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We need to stop.
I think we should stop.
Because there's a party to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just take a minute to talk about how we are with this. I'm regretting that we didn't share more of your songs and music, and so I want to say that the concert, which is open to everyone, will be
Saturday
night, which will be one time to do more with that.
Some of the things that we had talked about doing today was when we were out on the back porch. I was thinking about that one of the things we wanted to do was talk about some very special times that have occurred between you and I over these years. And I think other people kind of touched on that, just saying that people are special. And yet, you and I have had some real diverse times, and I regret that we didn't. Although part of that felt like it's like, well, here we are, look at us, and this is what we've done. But I think it's important for me to hear stories from other men too about good times they've had, conflicting times they've had, how they've worked through that stuff. And,
yeah.
We talked about, and I thought about a lot of those. It was helpful. A lot of things started coming after a conversation about some of this time. And whatever. The other thing that's really strong in my mind is this men-women exclusive thing. And as I've kind of let go of defending the value of men being together doing their thing, I'm also aware that there's a lot of things I would like to say to the women.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Maybe you should do
this. In terms of the experiences that I feel like I've gone through in my life with women, and some new learnings that I've had, and parts of me that feel like are more open to new ways to be with women.
That's the
end. I don't think that would have come up if some of the stuff wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. It may be worth looking at. Not necessarily with us, but doing a retreat for men and women encountering each other. I mean, and actually do some stuff where you move in and out of same sex to shared sex things, and be real deliberate about that for one weekend and see where that leads. But that won't happen this weekend. I am really pleased with the way people joined in.
I say a little bit defensively, but I also want to make the point that it also feels to me like the imagery of what we're doing here has been right by way of affirming the exclusive stuff without denying the need.